Though All Saints' Day falls on November 1st, we recognize it in chapel today. Our reading then is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, a high school young lady was out canvassing for a mission, a new church that was trying to get started in Tennessee. And she was sent with like a clipboard up to the doors to ask people in a neighborhood certain questions. And the question that she asked of this one lady at the door was, "If you died tonight, what do you think was going to happen to you? Where do you think you would go?" And the woman in her southern drawl answered back, "Heydays." And this young lady came back to the pastor that was helping them and said, "Is there some local festival called Heydays?" And he said, "No, she meant Hades, hell." And this young lady said, "Why would anybody want to say that they're going to hell?" There's an assumption that I have about everybody in this sanctuary today, and that is, when you hear a reading about heaven, you just naturally have a longing to want to be there. You want to go there. There's a built-in longing in the heart of human beings to just someday end up and be in heaven. And who wouldn't want to when we listen to this beautiful description? "He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat." And I love that last line. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Who wouldn't want to be there? Who wouldn't want to be in a place of absolute perfection and bliss? In the Old Testament, there's a story of Jacob and how he went to Mesopotamia and he had to labor there for years to try to gain his way to go back to his fatherland. He always had this longing to go back to his homeland and his fatherland. That's kind of a picture of us in this world. We're living and laboring here on this earth that's full of trouble and sadness and pain and tears. But inside of the heart of every person, there's a longing for something better. We kind of have this sense that there could be something better ahead of us somewhere, some way. And that longing isn't just in Christians. It's in people all over the world of all time. It's even in the hearts of atheists. There's a professed, self-professed and self-proclaimed atheist, Richard Branson, just had an accident with his spaceship this last weekend. But Richard Branson, in a CNN interview a few years ago, even though he doesn't believe in God at all, but he said, "I'd like to think that something like that exists, a place like heaven exists. I'd still like to kind of think that that exists." So that's my first assumption about you this morning, and that is that inside of you, there is this longing to live in a place like that someday. My second assumption about you this morning, however, is this, which is true of me too. Because of certain things that have happened in your life, and because of stuff that you know in the record of your memory about yourself, there is some fear and trepidation that you may not end up in that wonderful home we're talking about. You know inside of you, just like I do, that only perfect people are allowed there. That's a proper assumption. That's true. Only perfect people are allowed to come into heaven. And we know that inside our gut, our conscience. And that's why there's a little bit of fear and trepidation when we think about whether or not we'll ever end up in that group that's being mentioned in our text. There's a metaphor that's frequently used in the Bible. and that of using a person's clothing or a robe or garment to represent how God sees them and how God looks at them. And that's a metaphor, a kind of a motif that we see running throughout the entire Bible. A number of years ago, I was conducting a wedding, and about 5 minutes before the wedding, I went in to talk to the bride and make sure everything was ready to go. And her bridesmaid was standing right, and her maid of honor was standing right in front of her putting on lipstick. And just as she said to her, "You look so beautiful," she put the lipstick on and dropped it and went all the way down her dress. A big red streak. And this bride just freaked out. What am I going to do? How can I cover this? The bouquet wasn't big enough to cover it. And luckily somebody had a cleansing stick out in their car or something. But when we are aware of the stains on the garments of our lives, when we are aware of the things in our own lives, even though we can cover them up to other people, but we know about it in our own hearts and in our own consciences, that's what causes us to be so fearful of whether or not we'll be in this group that's described in our text someday. Years ago, I remember visiting a man in the hospital who had an impeccable reputation in the community. And yet he was terrified about dying. And he told me he was so afraid of Judgment Day because he said, "People have no idea what kind of person I'm really like." In essence, he was saying, I've managed to cover up all the stains on my clothing before people, but I know they're there. I know that they're still all over me. But notice the words of our text. Listen to them again about these people who are in heaven. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They don't naturally possess this perfect white robe. Their robe has been washed. It's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and that, of course, is Christ. When they are brought to faith in Him and repent of their sins and find in Him the Savior that's forgiven them and went to the cross for them, they now are dressed in that beautiful white robe that's described. When Jesus died on the cross and the blood from His hands and His head and His feet and His side dripped down onto the ground, that holy, sacred blood, every drop had your name on it. And God, through that blood, has now come and cleansed you in the waters of your baptism. Listen to how St. Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Notice the action for getting this white robe is on the side of God. It's not on the side of you. It's on the side of God. It's His doing. It's His cleansing that has made this happen for you. You're right to assume in your heart that you have to be a saint to be led into heaven someday. That's a proper assumption. But in Christ, by faith in Him, I don't care who you are, or how bad you've been, or how often you've sinned against God. Through faith in Christ, you are a saint. You actually are holy and spotless. St. Paul says, "Christ has become for us our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption." He became that for you. He didn't just hold it up in front of you and you say, "Try to be like this." He became that for you intentionally. And so through faith in Christ, in the eyes of God, you are just as deserving of coming into heaven as is Enoch who walked with God. You are just as deserving of coming into heaven as Mary or Joseph or Paul or Peter. Or hear me out, Jesus Himself. Through the blood of Christ cleansing you in the eyes of God, you are a holy, perfect, and righteous saint. You are covered with a perfect white robe. So how are we going to live in these robes? Since God has been so gracious to dress us in this perfect robe by which we will someday stand in heaven, shall we take them down to the mud pit and slop around in them? Shall we take advantage of God's grace? Shall we abuse God's grace? Shall we try to rationalize away our sin? Let's talk like we belong in heaven, because we do. Let's live our lives and treat people like we belong in heaven. We do, for Jesus' sake. Let's live our lives as if we've been clothed with the holy, perfect righteousness of Christ, because in the eyes of God, we have been. Amen. Please rise. Please turn to page 165 in the front part of your hymn book. You will find there one of the ancient collects or prayers for All Saints Day, number 137. Beautiful little prayer. Please join me in that today. O Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.